Technorama episode 524, Lopsided Black Hole.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
My ticket says this is the place. Where do I get in line for Star Wars Episode 9?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this were the Island of Misfit Toys, no, if this podcast, yeah, never mind. If you could take the Island of Misfit Toys and turn it into a podcast, it would be us. This is the podcast of Misfit Podcasts. I am Chuck Tomasi, and joining me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig? Why don't I hear Craig? Did you just mute or something?
Oh, did I accidentally mute? Oh, well.
Nice job. Oh. Just like at work on the WebEx. Oh, could you repeat that? I was busy.
I was trying to put together a familiar, setup for you.
Nobody wants a Charlie in the box.
I'm still reeling from watching Discovery. There was so much action tonight.
Yes, and there's one more episode done. If you want to listen to us talk about that,
there's two more.
Go over to the topic is Trek. .com,
right.
Where
Bing.
Craig and me, and where's the ding? There's the ding. Craig and me and Clinton do a podcast all about this stuff.
Yeah. Enough of our podcast already.
It's quite different, I assure you. It's nothing like this.
We're all serious. It's all business, man.
Yeah, we wear a suit.
Suit.
All right, we have some feedback.
Yeah.
It's not really letters, but we just love this song.
Letters, oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day. Mailman,
today. Didn't write out. What? I don't know what I'm saying.
Reach right in and pull you out?
Let's find out what you got to say.
Oh, boy! Mailman,
the word do in there.
No.
Our question of the week last week was, if you had no superpowers, which superhero or villain would you pick a fight with?
Hey, by the way, this first one is a high school buddy.
All right. Is his middle name Stephanie, or is he one of these people that uses his wife's name and is in the same handle? Okay.
Yeah, him and his wife. I don't know if they share the account or what, but I think it's mostly him.
I've seen people do that. Scott Stephanie Long writes, The Tick. You had to pick on somebody, pick on The Tick. Makes sense to me. Mike Robeson says, The Amazing Squirrel Girl. I don't know who that is, but he sounds like he's just picking low-hanging fruit. Lone Guys Knight says, Wonder Dog. Myron Drupler says, Zaha Doom. Nightwing. Is that two answers? Or is there a variant of Zaha Doom? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And John Miller Jr. writes, Gleek, you know, that monkey that hung around with the Wonder Twins. My answer was actually Zan from the Wonder Twins as a bucket of water. That's. Did they even qualify as superheroes? Come on.
Well, Gleek, hey, there was a few times when Gleek actually saved the day. So I would say yes.
All right. What's your answer, Craig?
What was my answer? Although I probably would lose, I think Plastic Man, because it just seems like be a funny fight. You know. So.
John Miller Jr. says, notice me. He's trying to get his
You're
name
noticed.
In the chat. And Scott
You're
Tyler has joined us as well. Nice to see some people who are interested in us more than the Grammys. Maybe we should take out an ad on the Grammys. And next week is Super Bowl Sunday, so don't know what we're going to do for that.
Hmm. I don't have a dog in that fight, so I'm up for podcasting.
Yeah, exactly. If you're voting for no one, vote for Technorama. Go ahead, throw away make your
Technorama
vote.
Your right in, yeah, make Technorama your right in vote.
Let's do the history thing, shall we?
Yes, yes, yes. Let's do it.
On this day in history for January 31st, 2018, this is the 31st day of the Gregorian calendar. It's always easiest in January. There are 334 days remaining in 2018. Wow. I don't know if the software did that or if I got a bug to find. It was on this date in 1606 that Guy Fawkes, as part of the Gunpowder Plot, is executed for plotting against Parliament and King James. It was the November 5th thing. It took them 2.5, almost 3 months. Okay. That's pretty speedy.
Yeah, not too bad. Also in 1747, the first venereal disease clinic opens in London Lock Hospital.
Oh, good for them. I wonder what they found. 155 years ago today, Alvin Graham Clark discovered the white dwarf star Sirius B, a companion of Sirius, through an 18.5-inch or 47-meter telescope now located at Northwestern University.
And he promptly said, just kidding.
I think they prefer to be called white little people stars.
I was making a joke on the Sirius thing. Also on January 31st, 1930, 3M begins marketing Scotch tape as opposed to bourbon tape.
Yeah, or English tape. Whiskey. I'm not sure.
Whiskey tape.
January 31st, 1949, These Are My Children, the first televised daytime soap opera, is broadcast by the NBC station in Chicago.
Also on this date in 1950, the United States President Harry S. Truman announces a program to develop the hydrogen bomb.
Give him hell, Harry. Also today, 1958, the first successful American satellite detects the Van Allen radiation belt. It holds up Van Allen's pants.
That's right. And Ham the chimp, not related to Gleek, travels into outer space aboard the Mercury Redstone on this date in 1961.
It was 51 years ago today that the Soviet Union launches the unmanned Luna 9 spacecraft as part of the Luna program.
And that same date in 1971, astronauts Alan Shepard, Stuart Rosa, and Edgar Mitchell aboard a Saturn V liftoff for a mission to the Faramarro Highlands on the moon aboard the Apollo 14.
Wow, that was
Why is that a weird sentence to read?
I don't know, because you're reading.
There's a board in there a bunch of times.
Aboard a Saturn V liftoff for a mission. Oh, probably the way that we got parsed in. Anyway, it was on this date in 2010 that Avatar becomes the first film to gross over $2 billion worldwide.
Wow.
We're not talking about the Airbender guy either.
That's right.
Happy birthday goes out on this day to American chemist and academic Nobel Prize laureate Theodore William Richards, born on this date in 1868.
An American chemist and physicist, Nobel Prize laureate, Irving Longmuir, was born 136 years ago today.
If he were still alive, he'd be 136.
Yeah.
Sofia Yanovskaya, the Russian mathematician. There it is. There's our Russian scientist or mathematician.
Yeah.
Historian, was born 121 years ago today.
American actress, singer, and dancer Carol Channing was born on this date in 1921.
Born January 31st, 1921, same year apparently, American tenor and actor Mario Lanza.
And Norman Mailer, the American journalist and author, was born 94 years ago today. And guess what?
What?
He'd be 94 if he was still alive.
Also turning 89 today is American computer scientist and engineer Irma Wyman.
And Rudolf Mossenbauer, German physicist and academic, Nobel Prize laureate, was born on the same date in 1921.
American actor and producer James Franciscus was born 83 years ago today.
And American actress Suzanne Pleshette was born on this date in 1937.
She was Bob Newhart's wife.
Yeah, that's right.
Looking at the listener birthday calendar, we have a whole bunch of them, and I'm not going to do them in song this time. But let's see if we can get them done before the song ends. We've got a little catch-up to do because we didn't have a show last week. January 24th is Sinful, Cynthia Fry. Craig, we missed your birthday on the 25th. Well, you got it on Facebook. Will, yes. The computer guy, was the 26th. The 27th, we had two birthdays, Mark in Memphis and Chip Burkhead from the Scotch cast. I wonder if he uses Scotch tape.
Yeah.
The 29th is Sarah P. from NJ, who was born in OK, moved to VA, married Brad P., and moved to NJ, and now is back in VA.
You got all that straight?
That's awesome. Made sense to me.
Yeah.
February 1st is Matt Baum, a.k.a. Racer X, from Pittsburgh, PA. And Brandon Kirkwold from MN. I love this double-letter thing. It's better than three-letter acronyms. It's only two-letter.
Yeah.
Friend and listener of the show, Gary Lindros, a.k.a. Gary from Jacksonville. Groundhog Day rules. Also on February 2nd, Chuck Provenzano, a.k.a. Pod Lurker, a.k.a. Chuck's evil twin. We're going to have to find him. Oreo Cookie Monsters on the 2nd, and finally on the 3rd, Ewan Campbell McGregor from Scotland, UK. That's the way it was. Happy birthday to all of you. Yes. What?
Ewan McGregor?
Why? Sure. Why not? Happy birthday on this history day. If you want to be on the birthday, I gotta put in the plug for the calendar. Hold on.
Please.
Go over to chuckchat.com/wiki if you want to get on the birthday calendar. We'll give you a special shout out at your favorite time of year. It's your birthday. We want to make sure we note it. Unless, of course, it's one of those streaks where we're just off the air for a ridiculously long time. That happens from time to time.
Hey, and be careful when you edit the wiki. Mike Wills will attest that he deleted it twice. I had to restore it.
Thank goodness for version control.
I got a message from him, and he's like, hey, I don't think I edited this thing right. And he said, I think I wiped it out. I went, whoa.
Yeah, it is.
So I went and looked. Sure enough, I was able to restore it. 10 minutes later, I said, go ahead and try it again. 10 minutes later, I did it again. So I had to restore it yet again.
Wow. That's talent.
Hey, and I'll also say about my birthday. I had a really good birthday. And I appreciate anybody that gave me, props on Facebook, happy birthday. I can't, messages. I was thinking of, how they do. Some people are donating their birthday messages and they'll ask for donations for a certain charity.
Sure.
And I did not do that ahead of time. Otherwise I probably would have. I had like well over 100 messages, and I think I replied to most, if not all of them. Thank you. Yeah. Or, liking. It was hard, but it was so many of them. But I like how Facebook kind of groups them together now.
Oh, I haven't seen that. Well, I'll find out in a couple months, won't I?
Yeah, I'll say, wait till your birthday. But it's like they were all kind of in the same the same notification, and it looked like one big thing. So it was easy to track down, but that was a lot. Of work. I feel like a great age, another year.
Next year's the big 5-0, buddy.
Yes. We'll tackle that. That's why I'm going on the Trek cruise to celebrate.
In a year.
Yeah, a year.
With your wife, you hope.
Yeah, she's going, of course.
All right, we have some news.
Good startling news, everyone.
Apparently, we almost missed the world's largest underwater volcano.
Almost. Good.
Ever recorded. I'm not sure how this actually just jumps into half a conversation here. It says, Schwit 1 quote science alert. She was flying home from a holiday in Samoa when she saw it through an airplane window. A particularly large mass floating on the ocean, hundreds of kilometers off the north coast of New Zealand. The Kiwi passenger emailed photos of the strange ocean slick to scientists, who realized what it was, a raft of floating rock spewed from an underwater volcano produced in the largest eruption of its kind ever recorded. Quote, we knew it was a large-scale eruption approximately equivalent to the biggest eruption we've seen on land in the 20th century, says volcanologist Rebecca Carey from the University of Tasmania, who co-led the first close-up investigation of the historic 2012 eruption. The incident, produced by a submarine volcano called the Havre Seamount, initially went unnoticed to scientists, but the floating rock platform it generated was hard to miss. Back in 2012, can you imagine if you were cruising along in a ocean liner and hit that? Like, whoa, where does rock raft come from?
Yeah, that's pretty much what they thought about on the Titanic.
Composed of pumice rock, covered some 400 square kilometers, 154 square miles of the Southwest Pacific Ocean. But months later, satellites recorded it dispersing over an area twice the size of New Zealand itself. For a sense of scale, think roughly 1.5 times larger than the 1980 eruption of Mount St. Helens, or 10 times the size of the 2000 Eyjafjallajökull, or whatever it was, in Iceland.
I think they made that up.
What?
Wow. That's pretty amazing. I mean, okay, I know I made a joke about the Titanic, but at least they saw the iceberg. I mean, I imagine this was probably pretty kind of level. And from a distance, you probably wouldn't even notice it in the water.
Sounds like it was big enough to pick up on satellites. Why wouldn't anyone have noticed?
Probably don't look for that kind of thing. You know, just big rocks, you know, floating around the water.
It could be garbage.
Yeah, I mean, do they actually, I mean, we're just now starting to monitor for asteroids and stuff. And you think they're monitoring the ocean for floating rocks?
We should.
They should. That's why, like, the naval ships that, you know, impacted another boat. I'm like, you think we'd have the technology now to pretty much know what's around you within 50 miles.
The ocean is a big place.
It is a big place.
We have yet to discover the vast majority of it.
It is 2018.
We got time. What are you saying?
I think some of this we should have figured out by now.
No. Let's go on. Speaking of figuring things out, you can have the next one.
Okay. Soon, this is so dangerous. Soon, you could be manufacturing your own drugs, and thanks to 3D printing. I think that sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Hey, no problems there. So forget those long lines at the pharmacy. Someday, soon, you'll be able to make your own medicines at home. That's because researchers have tailored a 3D printer to synthesize pharmaceuticals from other chemicals from simple, widely available starting compounds fed into a series of water bottle-sized reactors. The work, they say, could digitize chemistry, allowing users to synthesize almost any compound anywhere in the world. It could become a milestone paper, a seminal paper, says Fraser Stoddart, a chemist and chemist Nobel laureate in Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois.
Illinois. Yeah. You're really doing wonders Illinois. To this one tonight, Craig.
Yeah. So he was not involved in the work. This is one of those articles that has to make people sit up and take notice. Yeah, can you imagine just 3D printing some pot? You
know? Well, no, they're talking about, like, pharmaceutical pills. I know. You can't print a plant.
No, but they were talking about taking some simple, you know, starter stuff that's widely available and printing something so you could, like, make your heart blood, your blood pressure medication.
You could print a lot of things, and I'm wondering how you manage controlled substances. Obviously, could the same base ingredients be used in different ways, sort of like Taco Bell does? And could you come up with something dangerous?
Hey, nobody's using it like Taco Bell.
how could you prevent somebody from overdosing?
I don't see any downsides to this at all.
No, not
right?
at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
But fascinating, to say the least. I think 3D printing is pretty cool in itself, much less printing drugs.
Yep. I thought we had heard a story similar to that not too long ago.
What?
You could 3D print drugs.
Food. I don't know about drugs, but they've been experimenting with printing food.
If you call it food, I mean, it'd be pretty well processed by the time it came out of that printer nozzle.
Yeah, I mean, you're not. I don't think you're gonna be printing a pizza anytime soon. But there, we did. I did see articles. This is a long time ago. When people were printing sugar based desserts, because that's pretty easy. Once you get sugar,
right,
you can kind of make you can make a lot of stuff. So they were making chocolate and things like that, making desserts, and which is pretty cool. Actually, 3D Systems here in Rock Hill. I think did I ever post that? Maybe I didn't. I did an interview with the guy at 3D Systems, a big 3D printing company. They're here in my hometown, Rock Hill. And I asked him at the time, and it's several years from now ago, but I asked him about food, and he's like, you know, they're working on that. That's basically the answer I got. So, but they were printing all kinds of car parts and stuff. It was really cool. And food.
And we did talk about the big 3D printer that was printing concrete houses.
Yes. Yeah, it was another thing. Yeah, can you imagine? I think 3D printing in itself is gonna revolutionize the world. It's the replicator, in a sense.
In a way, yes. In a way, no. Okay. Let's move on to a story about NASA. If humans had any hope of sticking around on Mars for longer than a few days, they'll need some form of power to sustain themselves. A successful test in Nevada has demonstrated that power could be nuclear. NASA and the U.S. Department of Energy successfully performed their initial tests on a miniature nuclear power system and will try a more developed test in March, Reuters reports. Quote, months-long testing began in November at an Energy Department's Nevada National Security Site with an eye toward providing energy for future astronaut and robotic missions in space and on the surface of Mars, the moon or other solar destinations. You may remember that human astronauts walked on the moon only a handful of times back in the 1960s and 70s, and never for longer than 3 consecutive days. Longer missions planned on Mars, like the one depicted in Andy Weir's The Martian, would require a power system, one that can handle the planet's frigid nights, dust storms, and a more distant sun. Those are the problems NASA's Kilopower project hopes to solve with the compact nuclear fission reactor that uses uranium-235 reactor core roughly the size of a paper towel roll. Cool. The reactor would provide 10 kilowatts of power, enough to run 2 average households continuously for at least 10 years. Nice.
Wow.
We have those around here. According to NASA, probably too expensive for the average household. 4 units would be required to operate an outpost, and it continues. You may have heard about President Trump's plan for NASA to set its sights to sending humans back to the moon. A miniature fission reactor could work on other extreme environments, including the moon, says Lee Mason, NASA principal technologist for power and energy storage, in a release. NASA doesn't have a precise date for Kilopower's full test aside from mid to late March. That's pretty close.
Yeah.
But there's more work to go. A successful test would be in operation at full power with conditions that match the analytical predictions. Mason told Gizmodo in an email, if we continue the project toward a flight system, further hardware development and testing would be needed. Cool.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me of, I know obviously it's fiction, excuse me, but, you know, imagine if you had, like, Tony Stark, you know, he's got the reactor in his chest, and you can see all the things that he can do because he's got the power to be able to power, like, a suit or other things. So you're going to need something with a lot of power to,
right,
you know, obviously to carry around, something small in a small package. And I remember, I found the article. It was like 2008. There was an article where they were discussing putting miniature power plants in your neighborhood. So they would be small. They would be in the ground, completely safe because there's no moving parts. It's just, you know, self-contained. But it would power the homes in the immediate area, just like you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said, well, I need one of those near my house. Well, yeah. So you would have that, and there would be a network of them. So this group of houses would run off this one and this one, and they were talking about how that would, you know, revolutionize the power. Of course it would, because you wouldn't have to get anything from the grid.
Anyway, I just thought it was a neat reporting more stories on that as the time comes.
Yeah, I thought it was a neat idea, but nobody wants the nuclear plant in their yard.
Might not have a choice if you're going to Mars.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to put it in your yard, Mars.
All right. Enough of the real news. Let's get to the silly stuff when we come back. We'll be right back after this with stories about cars and the ISS and more. Hang on. We'll be right back.
Greetings from TG Geeks Webcast, where
Ben
and Keith, the two gay geeks, talk about all aspects of geekdom and nerdery. Sci-fi, comics, film, horror, genre, you name it, we talk about it.
Find our episodes each week on tggeeks.com.
Visit our Facebook page, TG Geeks Webcast.
On Google Plus and YouTube, look for us as Two Gay Geeks. You can tweet at TG Geeks and at the Two Gay Geeks.
Or call our feedback line at 469-TG-GEEKS. That is 469-844-3357. Happy listening. Peace.
Cheers.
Hi, this is Grant Imahara from Mythbusters. And Myth Confirmed, you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Didn't I just see a posting or tweet or something that said it was the 28th or 27th of January, was it 20 years ago or 18 years ago? The Mythbusters just passed an anniversary.
Oh, yeah. It was the beginning of the Mythbusters.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what year they started. I went, wow, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, I want to say, was it 2003?
That might have been it. It might have been 15-year anniversary.
Yeah, because, let's see, I'll tell you real quick.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, I was looking for, original Discovery Channel 2003 to 2016, and then they got the new version on the Science Channel.
All right. You want to cover this laughable story? I'm sure everybody's seen this already, but hey.
I hate humor.
Okay, good. Then I'll take it. The internet can't stop laughing at these cops who ticketed a car made of snow with this note. Simon LaPrise has sculpted a full-sized car replica out of snow to fool the snow removal guys, but it attracted the attention of local police instead. The 33-year-old Canadian woodworker from Montreal said it was an innocent joke, but the cops even pulled over to write a ticket for the, quote, illegally parked vehicle. Apparently it was right in front of his sidewalk or something.
Right.
Quote, I did the car to have fun expressing my creativity on that beautiful day, LaPrise told BuzzFeed. It was a full-sized replica of a DeLorean DMC-12, the Back to the Future car, for those of you who don't remember. You know, now that he says that, I kind of get it, but it didn't really look that way from the
you know what
sculpture.
I thought it looked like?
What?
I thought it looked like maybe a Toyota Supra or a Dodge Laser.
Yeah, I was going to say something along that Toyota Supra or Volkswagen Scirocco in a body lines.
There's my friend had a Dodge Laser. I don't know if you ever remember that. And it actually has that same, I'm going to send you a picture. It looks exactly like that.
That's what the article says. It looked kind of like a third generation Toyota Supra as well. In parts of Canada, however, parking in a snow removal zone when plowing is scheduled is prohibited, and that's probably why the cops pulled over. Upon further inspection, they did identify the vehicle that was for what it actually was. Finally, the police left a fake ticket on the car. You made our night, is what it said.
Oh.
And we've got some pictures going on the video. You can see those there, or go click through the show note links on chuckchat.com/technorama. Yes.
It'd be kind of funny if you saw where it looked like some snow was dug out where the handle was, so like the cops were trying to open it.
or put a dead snowman in front like he just got hit.
through the windshield.
A snow car hit a snowman.
Yeah.
Ha 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 ha. Well, that part I can translate from French. All right, shout out to the chat room. Who do we got out there, Craig? Your list is usually more visible than mine.
Well, I see. Let me look at the watching now. We have JT Shea, John Miller Jr., Scott Tyler, Andy Helsby. Hey, your wife. Hey, she's supposed to be running the board over there.
She is. Quality control.
Yeah. Amanda Herring.
We had Keith Carruthers, Chris Smith.
You just Don Duffy. Elliot.
Megan Enloe was here for a while.
Yep. Megan. Yep.
Good, good. Thank you, everybody. Hey, this is one of our better visibility nights. Maybe the Grammys suck.
Yeah, we're more interesting than the Grammys, I can guarantee you that.
And we're not singing any songs yet.
Yeah, the night's still young, Chuck.
You want to join us every Sunday night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We're here. Hang out on Facebook with us. Follow the Technorama podcast page, and you get notified when we do this thing live. It's just kind of a lot of fun that we do.
Mm-hmm.
All right, shall we take a look at... Oh, we have a Remember When segment?
Yeah.
Wow, I haven't played this song in a while. Let's not get caught.
Talk over it. Talk over it really loud.
Go for it.
Yeah, so everybody remembers what happened to the Challenger back in 19.
Yeah, in fact, this was the 32nd anniversary. Gary Lindros just posted. He said,
yep.
Where were you when you heard the news?
Yeah, and where were you?
Where was I? I was homesick with the flu. And I was just waking up from rest.
Hey, just like 30 years ago, you just had the flu.
Kind of like that, yeah. Because I only get the flu once every 30 years or so. And I just woke up from the rest, and I went to check the news, and it was bad news like that. It was all over the news. It was all over TV. Couldn't watch anything anywhere. And not been sick, I probably would have been watching it live.
Right. Well, I was in a classroom, and I remember... sitting in the classroom. I can't remember the teacher, but I remember I want to say we either had the TV in there to watch the launch or the news happened and then they brought the TV in to watch the news. I want to say we were watching it, but anyway, so this kind of resonates with me, of course, because I super loved the shuttle and the whole program about it. I thought it was made a big impact on me. But anyway, on January 28th, 1986, the Space Shuttle Challenger exploded during liftoff.
Spoiler
on board
alert.
For all of you time travelers out there. On board were seven astronauts, one of which was Krista McAuliffe. She was selected from over 11,000 applicants. Wow. Actually, we probably had the TV in there because she was a school teacher. She was selected over 11,000 applicants for the position of NASA's the teacher in space. McAuliffe had plans to conduct lessons from Challenger. Now those lessons will finally take place from the International Space Station.
Yay!
Over the next few months, astronauts Joe Acaba and Ricky Arnold will conduct four of McAuliffe's six planned lessons, focusing on liquids, effervescence, chromatography, and Newton's laws. They will be filmed, and then they will be posted online by the Challenger Center, which focuses on outreach from to students about STEM topics in memory of the shuttle and her crew. Acaba is part of the Expedition 53/54, which launched in September 2017 and is currently aboard the ISS. Arnold's mission in the space station will launch in March. Both Acaba and Arnold have teaching backgrounds and were chosen as educator astronauts. As former teachers, Ricky and Joe wanted to honor Krista McAuliffe. Challenger Center spokeswoman Lisa Vernal told the Associated Press, NASA's first educator astronaut, Barbara Morgan, was originally McAuliffe's backup the Challenger mission. Yeah, she assumed the teacher in space duties after McAuliffe's death and was officially selected as an astronaut in 1998.
Very cool. Nice to see them turning the page on this book and continuing that that story that started seems like a long time ago.
Got to keep moving forward, even though in the face of tragedy, it's terrible. But
Yep. All right. Speaking of tragedy,
we continue the podcast called Technorama. Oh,
that's right. The people that it would be a tragedy if we didn't have these people.
Yes.
These are our patrons that we are so, so thankful for. We appreciate you very much. Abner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Mike Wills, Leon, John Noble, Amy Bowen, Chris MC, Alexis Duran, Saturday Morning Media, Steve Therian, Kyle Nishioka, Yorka Schrauen, John Clifford, and of course, Gary Lindros. Thank you to all of you who contribute as little as a dollar a show, which is important to remember because last couple of weeks we've been off for illness and personal and whatever else it took.
No.
And those people didn't have to pay. But right. We are here. They give us a dollar. And we, in turn, give them a special, special Chuck and Craig podcast only for the for the Patreon people as a thank you. So thank you very much to you. They get their name enshrined in every episode of Technorama and that special content. If you want to be part of that, see that link on the bottom of the page right there? If you're watching video, patreon.com/technoramapodcast. If you're listening, that would be the same link, patreon.com.
You can be one of the special select people. I don't know. Listen, I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that.
The Technorama Army. No. What did we call it? Technorama Network.
Nodes.
The nodes. The nodes on our network. All right, let me can the music. Crash, burn, done. And I believe our last segment is the Geek Library. Am I correct, or did I miss something tonight?
No way. Oh, you're right.
Huh? Yeah. Well, it seemed like it went pretty quick, but we're not done yet. We have... Where's my Geek Library music? There it is. So rich. So full-bodied. Stereo separated.
Tastes like milk.
Go ahead. Read on, Mansoor.
Okay. So a bunch of 11-year-olds design the cars of the future, and the results are utterly delightful.
They are delightful. We've got a few pictures that we can share with you on here.
Yeah. So every year, we get served up a heaping portion of concept cars from the automakers at CES and Detroit. Weird headlights, huge screens, and a bevy of doors that can't be bothered to open in a traditional manner. But lately, there's a sense that car companies are just going through the motions. They give us playful ideas like augmented reality and a koi fish that's your virtual personal assistant. Okay. But in the end, they dump all their money into more trucks and SUVs, which is why... I'll take these automotive designs from a group of 11-year-olds any day of the week.
Now these are pretty good. These are pretty good. I mean,
some
of them have labeled the cars, and then they've taken the child's drawing and turned it into more of a concept car drawing.
Yeah. And actually, some of the kids had a lot of explanation on what the car does. So there was a design, and then you can see all the writing all around it. Like, does this, it does that, this does that.
Fills with water here.
Yeah. So, like, hover car. And they're talking about magnets for the side of the car.
They've given them creative names, too.
Oh, this one has a second floor.
The Hennessy KSL GET. There was the... What was that on the Beast Driver? The Beast Racer 210. It looks like a dragon.
Hey, so this Hensi, apparently it's an electric car. It says the generator is able to hold 11,000 volts of electricity. It's just got like an arrow pointing in
specific.
Yeah. Two black wheels are expected to generate electricity generator.
One that goes underwater. Sounds like a good idea to me. One that's got
live in the yellow sun,
rainbows and unicorns, the unicar.
There you go. Yeah, this one that goes underwater, a shark fin to help drift through water. flexible glass to prevent it from shattering.
There you go.
It is glazed over for privacy.
See, these kids are thinking. That's the kind of imagination we need in designers.
Rocket to help fly and drive fast.
Didn't you ever draw concept cars or anything when you were a kid?
You know, when I saw this, I remembered, I think it was probably on fourth grade or so. They did an exercise like this. Hey, you know, design the car of the future. And I want to say that most of them at that point, I remember a lot of kids having flying cars.
You know what I came up with? A four-door pickup.
And guess what? They made it.
They
I got
did.
One. I have
should,
one.
I should get royalties.
I have a four-door pickup.
Right. I thought that was a great idea.
Yeah, you can get royalties from somebody else, not me. Here's one of those like a robot. Somebody's been watching the Transformers.
We've only got three sets of pictures on the screen, but you get the idea. Again, go to chuckchat.com/technorama. Click through the show notes, and
hey,
you'll get to see these. What?
So I do have to say, you may not have the picture for this one. That's the robot one. It says, powered by brain made from spare metal parts.
whose brain is made from spare metal parts?
Oh, I see.
The car is made from spare metal parts, but the car is powered by a brain?
He's been watching Transformers too much. It's the Bumblebee Prime is the name of the car.
Artificial.
Large hand is where spare parts are kept. Okay.
A large hand?
Says large hand is where spare parts are kept.
Okay. I got you.
Belt for fixing itself.
Any closing comments in the chat? Nope, not at this point that I can see. And that means it's time for our question of the week. The question this time is, what pop culture trend or fad from the past do you not want to see again?
Furbies.
At first, I thought you said you do want to see it again, but this is not want to see it again.
Pound puppies.
Spandex.
The California raisin things.
We just shared that story again at the podcast meetup on Thursday.
That's funny. Yeah, actually, tell us a little bit about that before we go. The podcaster meetup.
The podcaster meetup. We had a Phoenix podcaster meetup. This is the first one we had since PIY in late October. And our venue was Guitar Center. Well, they have practice rooms and they only get so big. So our maximum capacity was about 12 people. We had 10. It was cozy.
Oh.
It was a bit warm. And it was very well attended, very good discussion. Most of it around interviews and in conducting interviews. We had several veterans there. We had three people who had not done a podcast but interested in starting one. I even sold a couple copies of the book. So it was
I see where this is going.
This is what podcasting success looks like when you're selling books out of the trunk of your car.
Hey, come on, come out of my car. Let me open the trunk. Yeah. And our buddy Gary Lynn just showed up, right?
Gary was there, yeah. He and his brother. But Gary, his brother, I believe, is from Texas and Gary is from Florida. So he wins the most distant traveler award this time. We will be doing this again, but I need to find a bigger venue.
Did he just happen to be in town and you told him about it? Or how did they?
Yeah, he was in town on business. His brother and he were in town for kind of a conference, but the conference moves around. So it's not guaranteed that they'll be back in 3 months or 6 months or whatever it was. But afterwards, I got a lot of people saying, if I knew Gary was there, I would have gone. Oh, okay. Well, I guess if I want to increase attendance, I'll schedule it around Gary's visit.
Now you need to budget in flying him in each time.
Yeah, sure. We can barely afford the $20 room fee. So we're
first I saw a picture of you guys, and then I saw him with Ben and Keith. I went, whoa, what's going on? And I didn't realize that you actually had a podcast meetup.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought that was pretty cool.
That was a lot of fun. Thank you to Gary and his brother, David, I believe is his name, for attending. And Roxanne was there and Cindy was there. We had a couple people that were at PIY, Stacy and Garrett. Good to see them again. So we're getting to that point that I was hoping for, is to reinvigorate the podcast interest in the Phoenix area. And this weekend, T. Morris and I had a really good discussion about PIY East and PIY West. So keep your eyes on Facebook and Twitter and wherever you look for that. We will start publicizing once we have dates. T is looking to nail down a venue
in South Carolina.
Targeting,
he needs to come here.
No,
he needs to come here.
DC area. He's staying in the DC area.
Okay.
We are looking at sometime in June for PIY East. And PIY West is either going to be late September to mid-October. We're still getting venues and options on that yet. So hopeful, very hopeful that we can pull that off. Stay tuned for more details, but I did say we'd start feeding the rumor mill. I mean, I'd share with you what I can.
Sure.
That's cool. And what I can share with you is our eternal thanks for you for listening and watching this show. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. And I want to remind you, if you want to get in touch with us and tell us what fad you don't want to see again in the past, or you've got some other comment about this show, call us on the listener line at 707-530-2428. That's 707-530-CHAT. There it is. Thank you, Donna.
I'm still not used to that number, even though we've had it for a while now.
I know. It is starting to get ingrained. It's been, what, 3-4 years since we've had this number?
Yeah. We'll have to change it by the time we get used to this one.
Right. You can also email us, technorama@checkchat.com, or find us all over the social internets. You know, just search for Technorama Podcast.
And by the
podcast.
Way, yes. You know, on our Facebook page, there is a Call Us button.
And no one has ever used it. Where does it go?
To that number.
It calls that number? Okay. Yeah. That's easy enough.
Here, let's do it right now.
No, don't do it now. After the show. After the show.
Oh, hey, it's funny you said, where does it go? And I just hover over and it says, test button. It says, Technorama Podcast, 707-530-2428.
Yay. There. We get the ding. Which means it's time for us to say goodnight and wish you all the best this week. Have a wonderful time. Thank you once again to Craig. Thank you to our patrons. Thank you to my lovely wife who does the video for us, without which it would be a much different and boring show.
Yes.
Where's the button to play the music? There it is.
I was like, why are you dragging on? You must have been looking for that button.
I was.
Stalling.
Stalling for time. Thank you. Tell a friend about Technorama, and we're going to get out of here soon. We got a long way before this song is done. I should have been talking and stalling while I was playing the music.
We should start singing now. Oh, this is our cue to start singing.
We're going to plan.
One.
We're going to plan for next week. It's going to be February. Oh, my goodness. Instead of the Super Bowl. Tell a friend to watch this instead of the Super Bowl. See how that goes.
Art. Guess our annual Valentine's episode will be coming up.
That could be. What are you getting me?
We'll talk about it later.
All right. Till then, Craig, give me a binary high five and we're out of here.
All right. 101. See you.